A young boy watches his childhood friend die suddenly at 13. The question consumes him. Where did his friend go? In desperation, he swallows 98 barbiturate tablets, hoping to glimpse what lies beyond. He survives, but the mystery deepens. Years later, sitting on Chamundi Hills, everything shifts. His sense of self explodes outward. He becomes the air, the trees, the earth beneath him. In that moment, the answer arrives. Death isn't an ending, but a doorway between dimensions. This revelation became the foundation for understanding death not as something to fear or accept, but as the ultimate spiritual opportunity. Most of us treat death like a distant appointment we'll never keep, something that happens to others. Yet 160,000 people die daily, and each breath we take contains both life and death. Inhalation brings existence, exhalation releases it. We're dying and being reborn moment by moment, yet we cling to the illusion of permanence. Think of life and death not as opposites, but as riverbanks of the same flowing water. You can't have one without the other. The greatest tragedy isn't dying, it's rejecting death, which means rejecting life itself. Those who faced near-death experiences understand this viscerally. Life and death coexist simultaneously, not sequentially. Being aware of your mortality doesn't make you morbid, it makes you alive. Not wanting to die today, but accepting it if it happens, this paradox unlocks genuine vitality. Walk through any prosperous city and notice the living dead, people who've traded experience for security, vitality for comfort. Every time you prioritize safety over experience, you become death-oriented. Life demands participation. Death happens efficiently without your help. This is why cremation grounds in Indian tradition are sacred spaces for spiritual practice. They force confrontation with what we spend lifetimes avoiding. True spirituality emerges from becoming conscious of mortality, not from thinking about God. Those who believe God supports them often become dangerous, wielding certainty like weapons. But awareness of death turns you inward, toward authentic seeking. If only psychological and physiological processes occupy your experience, you'll naturally deplete with age. Enhance your fundamental life energy through proper practices, and you'll grow more vibrant with time. The body craves certainty. Consciousness seeks possibility. Ironically, immortality fascinates the affluent and miserable, not the joyful. Happy people hold life loosely. The miserable cling desperately, having never truly lived. Though yogic science suggests humans can live to 160 years, proper extension requires physical foundation through hatha yoga, transcendence of time perception, and burning karma intensely. The fundamental nature of consciousness drives us to seek the next dimension, not to escape suffering, but because awareness inherently evolves toward ultimate potential. Creation operates through 8 types of memory: elemental, earth, water, fire, air, ether; atomic, subatomic behavior; evolutionary, human form; genetic, inherited traits; karmic, past life impressions; and 3 mental layers: unconscious, subconscious, and conscious. At death, most memories dissolve like sugar in water. Only karmic memory remains, seeking another womb. Your body consists of 5 nested sheaths: physical, anamaya; mental, manomaya; energetic, pranamaya; etheric, vijnanamaya; and bliss body, anandamaya. Death strips only the outer layers. The rest carry forward. True liberation happens when all layers except the bliss body dissolve, merging with the cosmos, not escaping life, but transcending the cycle of form. Life energy manifests as pancha pranas: samana, temperature; prana, breath and thought; udana, buoyancy and communication; apana, elimination and sensation; and vyana, cellular unity. Death follows a precise sequence. Samana exits within 24 minutes, prana within 90 minutes, udana within 12 hours, apana within 18 hours. Vyana takes longest, 11 to 14 days for natural deaths, up to 90 days for accidents. Traditional cultures wait before final rites for this reason. Indian tradition distinguishes between timely death, sumrutu, when your intent to live is exhausted, and untimely death, akamrutu, when karmic business remains unfinished. Tragically, over 80% of modern deaths are untimely. People die while their desire to live burns fierce. Then there's ichamrutu, death by choice, where accomplished yogis consciously untangle life energies from the body, achieving liberation. Suicide destroys only the physical body, while subtler bodies remain intact, seeking another form. The consequences aren't moral punishment, but mechanical. You broke your body while the engine was still running. Your body contains 114 chakras, energy intersections that determine both life and death quality. The exit chakra impacts your future. Lower exits like Mulatara, perineum, happen in fear. Higher exits like Sahasrara, crown, indicate full consciousness. Only those who live with awareness can die with awareness, and those completely aware at death need not take another body. Mahasamadhi represents ultimate dissolution, conscious, willful exit from existence itself. Death marks the transition from physical to non-physical existence. How you die determines whether the experience becomes heavenly or hellish. With preparation, death transforms from catastrophe to spiritual opportunity, as karmic knots untie more easily at this threshold. Sleep and death share the same principle, transitioning from dynamism to inertia. Remaining conscious during the shift from wakefulness to sleep through practices like shunya meditation develops the ability to maintain awareness during death. Fear of death stems from over-identification with the body. Death is simply returning what you borrowed. Old age can be a blessing. Accumulated experience makes awareness easier as bodily identification naturally decreases. Vanaprastha ashrama was an ancient practice where couples withdrew to live simply in nature as death approached, dissolving the false immortality created by comfort. Salekhana involves consciously tapering down life force when your cycle is complete, not suicide from frustration, but deliberate, aware exit. When death approaches, create a clean white room with mild blue lighting and a continuously burning ghee lamp. Move the dying person to an open space on cloth upon soil in north-south alignment. Continue the lamp and chanting for 14 days after medical death, as existential death unfolds gradually. At death, a being transforms from a directed river to a directionless cloud, losing discriminatory capacity while retaining memories and tendencies. The mental state at death, pleasant or unpleasant, multiplies exponentially, creating experiential heaven or hell as states of being, not places. After death, tie the big toes together to close Muladhara chakra, preventing entities from re-entering. Wash the body to facilitate energy withdrawal, then cover only with white cloth. Never sleep, cook, or eat near a dead body. These activities make you vulnerable to departing energies. Cremation brings immediate closure. Burial suits those who died of old age or exited consciously. Runa Nubandha is energetic bonding through sensory contact, strongest through sexual relationships. Indian culture developed rituals to break these bonds after death. The Kala Bhairava karma ritual requires only a photograph and piece of clothing, dissolving connections between departed and living. Ancient sages created 64 samskaras, with 16 most important. Shraddha rituals performed on death anniversaries dissolve ancestral debts and create genetic distance. Unlike ancestor worship, the Indian approach focuses on distancing from ancestors. The yogic perspective aims for mukti, transcending heaven and hell entirely. Grief stems not from death itself. Thousands die daily without affecting us, but from shattered plans and dissolved roles. When someone dies, physical connections, mother, spouse, cease for the departed, though they remain vivid for us. Life enters the fetus between 40 and 90 days after conception, with the being examining the womb based on karmic tendencies. 70 to 80% of infants below 6 months remember past lives before memory screens form. Breastfeeding anchors them to this existence. Reincarnation follows unfulfilled desires, which crystallize as karma. Your karma seeks whatever body best fulfills those tendencies, not as punishment, but natural alignment. Generally, only the master-disciple relationship transcends lifetimes because it surpasses physical limitations. Those living beyond 84 years experience unique deaths as karmic grip loosens naturally. At death's approach, transformation becomes simple. If you've surrendered totally to a spiritual guide, even momentarily, liberation is assured. The fundamental illusion is perceiving yourself as separate rather than recognizing your earth itself. Sitting with a guru dissolves these boundaries. Do this even briefly, and rebirth ends. Death isn't the enemy. Unconsciousness is. Learn to die while living, and your final breath leads into boundless light.